Well, good morning. Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Essex Church and to this, our gathered community of Kensington Unitarians. Welcome to all who are new here today. Welcome to all who are here regularly on a Sunday morning. Welcome to occasional visitors. Welcome to all. And I'm going to give an especial welcome this morning to our podcast listeners, several of whom have been in touch lately. Just think for a moment, imagine that at some future time, we don't know when, around the world, people will settle down on their sofas maybe and listen to this podcast in India and Washington, Ireland and the Carolinas, both north and south, in Seattle and Poland and York and Sheffield. Just some of the places where our regular listeners are based. I hope all of you listening in the future do feel part of this community, however many miles and how many weeks and months you are away. Now, those of us who are here in physical form this morning, well, we've all made our different journeys to be here. Bus, tube, on foot, in cars, on trains, bicycle. Is that covering everything? I hope so. And just as we cover lots of modes of transport, we probably cover a fairly wide range of human conditions as well as modes of transport. Some will be sleepy still this morning, some wide awake, some joyful, some troubled, some annoyed, some peaceful. May we all find something in this next hour that speaks to us personally in some way. May we be challenged or soothed, cheered or sobered, uplifted or taken deeper, and may our souls be nourished and enriched by spending this time together. Some words of invocation by Angela Herrera. Don't leave your broken heart at the door. Bring it here to the altar of life. Don't leave your anger behind. It has high standards and the world needs vision. Bring them with you, and your joy and your passion. Bring your loving and your courage and your conviction. Bring your need for healing and your power to heal. For here there is work to do, and you have all that you need to do it, right here in this room.
This is called Desiderata by Max Ehrman. Go placidly amid the noise and haste, and remember what peace there may be in silence. As far as possible, without surrender, be on good terms with all persons. Speak your truth quietly and clearly, and listen to others, even the dull and ignorant. They too have their story. Avoid loud and aggressive persons. They are vexations to the spirit. If you compare yourself with others, you may become vain and bitter, for always there will be greater and lesser persons than yourself. Enjoy your achievements as well as your plans. Keep interested in your career, however humble. It is a real possession in the changing fortunes of time. Exercise caution in your business affairs, for the world is full of trickery. But let this not blind you to what virtue there is. Many persons strive for high ideals, and everywhere life is full of heroism. Be yourself, especially do not feign affection. Neither be critical about love, for in the face of all aridity and disenchantment, it is as perennial as the grass. Take kindly the counsel of the years, gracefully surrendering the things of youth. Nurture strength of spirit to shield you in sudden misfortune. but do not distress yourself with imaginings. Many fears are born of fatigue and loneliness. Beyond a wholesome discipline, be gentle with yourself. You are a child of the universe, no less than the trees and the stars. You have a right to be here. And whether or not it is clear to you, no doubt the universe is unfolding as it should. Therefore, be at peace with God, whatever you conceive God to be, and whatever your labours and aspirations, in all the noisy confusion of life, keep peace with your soul. With all its sham and drudgery and broken dreams, it is still a beautiful world. Be careful. Strive to be happy. And let's take those aspirations into a time of prayer and reflection. And as we join together, let each of us in this time connect with that which is of ultimate worth to us. Your higher power, whatever words we might use, God, Goddess, Spirit, our higher self, love. Names and concepts matter less than the inner sense that we are part of something greater, part of the great stream of life that flows through us. For if we are part of something greater, then we can offer up all our experiences to that whole. And we can remind ourselves that we are not as isolated as we sometimes might feel. May our sense of connectedness bring us comfort. May our troubles be held and soothed. And may we be brave and honest enough to admit in our hearts any times when we have been less than we would wish to be in the last week. And now let us take a moment to find something for which we can give thanks in life. And knowing that we are not alone in this world, let us now turn our thoughts and prayers to others, to people and places in our own lives or in the wider life of the world, including some of the issues that we will have heard of in Candles of Joy and Concern, in a way that is meaningful for you. Let us direct our prayers of love to those in need. And may we be guided to find actions that will help, knowing that ours are the hands that can bring comfort to others. Ours is the life that can make a difference, however small, in our world. Amen. Today's service is all about comfort, and the poem I'm going to read now, which we're then going to hear as a Vaughan Williams song, is, I think, about the comfort of our imaginings. Our imaginings of things that would make us joyous. This is the Song of the Road. I will make you brooches and toys for your delight, of birdsong at morning and starshine at night. I will make a palace fit for you and me, of green days in forests
and blue days at sea. I will make my kitchen, and you shall keep your room, where white flows the river and bright blows the broom. And you shall wash your linen and keep your body white in rainfall at morning and dewfall at night. And this shall be for music when no one else is near, the fine song for singing and the rare song to hear, that only I remember, that only you admire, of the broad road that stretches and the roadside fire. Poem by Robert Louis Stevenson. We have my mum to thank for the title of this address, Comfort and Cheer. My mum's memory has almost gone. She doesn't really know who I am or who she is, and yet, like so many people with memory loss, music brings her to life. So whenever I go to visit her, we sing together, and she'll often remember more of the words than I do. And so it was this Christmas, as we worked our way through our repertoire of carols, ending with God Rest Ye Merry Gentlemen. And it ends with the line, O tidings of comfort and joy, comfort and joy, O tidings of comfort and joy, which we sang. And then it was time to go. And my mum, who can so often look completely blank, this woman who was once strong, intelligent, worked as a college lecturer, brought up five children, she turned to me at that moment. She said quite clearly, in a voice that was just like my mum of old, comfort and cheer, Sarah. That's what we need more of, comfort and cheer. So comfort and cheer it is that I'm exploring today. And it's a good thing to be exploring such a theme today, because if you believe some newspapers, then tomorrow is Blue Monday, so-called because it's supposed to be the most depressing day of the year. Now, here's an amusing description of this, and I only wish that this chap was here to read the whole thing to you, because he is very funny. He's both a psychologist and a stand-up comic, and he wrote this in The Guardian not long ago. And he wrote it because he was so embarrassed that he'd been wheeled onto various TV and radio shows to talk about how ridiculous Blue Monday is, but because they cut the interview, it always sounded like he was saying, yes, it's a very depressing day of the year. Anyway, so this is what Dean Burnett wrote. January is a depressing time for many. The weather is awful. You get less daylight than a stunted dandelion, and your body is struggling to cope with the withdrawal of the depression-alleviating calorific foods, such as chocolate, of the hedonistic festive period. January is one long post-Christmas hangover. So there are many reasons why someone may feel particularly down during January, but every year, much of the media has become fixated on a specific day, and it's the third Monday in January, as the most depressing day of the year. It's become known as Blue Monday. Now, this silly claim comes from a ludicrous equation that calculates debt, because our credit card bills are coming in soon, motivation, weather, the need to take action, and other arbitrary variables that are impossible to quantify, he writes, and largely incompatible. True clinical depression, as opposed to a post-Christmas slump, is a far more complex condition affected by many factors, chronic and temporary, internal and external. What is extremely unlikely, he writes, i.e. impossible, is that there is a reliable set of external factors that cause depression in an entire population at the same time every year. But that doesn't stop the equation from popping up every year. And its creator, Dr. Cliff Arnall, he really is a doctor apparently, devised it for a travel firm to encourage us all to book holidays. He's since admitted that it is meaningless without actually saying that it's wrong. So that's Dr. Dean Burnett. Okay, so there is no Blue Monday. But I think we can justifiably complain about the weather, can't we, this winter? No crisp, cold spells. I agree, the sun is just out today, but only just. far too much rain in this country. No wonder we might feel just a tad gloomy. Now, a look at the mind, body and spirit shelves in our local bookshop reveals that what is known as the science of happiness is clearly a growth area amongst psychologists. Many studies have been completed in the last few years into what makes people happy. I just was overwhelmed with choice, but here's my favourite. And this one was actually reported in a TV programme a few years ago. You might have seen it. The researchers, and don't you wish that some of us had found this advert, the researchers worked with a group of people who described themselves as unhappy. And so for 6 months they got taken out of work and their whole life was filled with happiness experiments. They were taken through an endless array of tests and experience. They were taken to see doctors who gave them assorted drugs. The one I liked was the one where they got to sleep for 72 hours. How marvellous is that? And then they had their brains scanned, and the scans showed, of course, that happiness can be seen in the brain. When we have a pleasurable experience, our brain releases chemicals called endorphins, a sort of natural morphine. It helps us to relax and feel good, which enhances the workings of our immune system, and so on and so on. And putting it simply, when we feel happy, it is because our bodies are producing endorphins. And then, when we produce endorphins, we feel happy. It's a delightful cycle of feeling good that then occurs. But experiments also showed that you don't even have to have an experience in order for endorphin production to start. You simply have to imagine it. You could experiment now if you wish, and I cannot see in your minds, I have no idea what you'll be thinking about. But if you think about something or someone that you really like, something that delights you and gives you pleasure, and you just spend a moment now thinking about these pleasurable thoughts, imagining yourself perhaps enjoying what it is you are imagining. And I don't know about you, but quite quickly bodily sensations start to change when we do this kind of imagining. We breathe more deeply, a sense of relaxation comes. And if we had some medical equipment now to wire you up, we'd be able to see that how in a really short space of time we will have increased the blood flow in our brain and body, and we will have released endorphins that will have a variety of positive physical effects. If you're interested in finding out more about endorphins, there's a great book by William Bloom called The Endorphin Effect, which I can recommend, and I brought a copy down and it's in the coffee room next door. So going back to the experimenters who worked with that group of unhappy people for 6 months, I think I've told you this story before. Can anybody remember what it was, what they discovered? They went around trying every possible activity that you could imagine to make you happy. What is the activity guaranteed to make most people happy? I look at you, Harold.
I can have a nice cup of tea.
A nice cup of tea? Well, a cup of tea can work for some people, but singing is high on the list as well. But actually, the number one activity, in case you want to rush out and try it, it's eating. Eating's very high on that list. No, it's Scottish country dancing. Apparently, Scottish country dancing has got all the right ingredients for happiness. I'm going to list them. Well, you've shown the first one. It makes you laugh, even if you don't get dressed up. It involves vigorous exercise. You dance to music, and music is renowned for its ability to lift the spirits. It involves contact with other people, both physical touch and, of course, the delight of other people's company. And it doesn't have any, as far as I know, negative after effects, so long as you don't trip over someone when you're doing the Gay Gordons.
It's actually funnier than
Gay Gordons. Yeah, it is. You can strip the willow with me anytime, Harold. So, if you want to feel happier, we'll try dancing. But for comfort, well, comfort isn't necessarily about happiness, is it? Sometimes being comforted can be about accepting just how we are, accepting our situation as it is right now, almost sinking into it and into the present moment, even if the present moment isn't an easy one. Playwright Dennis Potter gave several very powerful interviews shortly before he died, and his words were then gathered together in a collection called Seeing the Blossom, two interviews and a lecture. What he's describing in this piece I'm going to read is the intensity of his experience of being alive, knowing that his life is finite. At this season, he writes, the blossom is out in full now, there in the west, early. It's a plum tree. It looks like apple blossom, but it's white. And looking at it, instead of saying, that's a nice blossom. Last week, looking at it through the window when I'm writing, I see it is the whitest, frothiest, blossomest blossom that there ever could be, and I can see it. Things are both more trivial than they ever were and more important than they ever were. And the difference between the trivial and the important doesn't seem to matter. But the nowness of everything is absolutely wondrous. And if people could see that, you know. There's no way of telling you. You have to experience it, but the glory of it, if you like, the comfort of it, the reassurance. Not that I'm interested, he writes, in reassuring people. Bugger that. The fact is, if you see the present tense, boy, do you see it. And boy, can you celebrate it. Words from playwright Dennis Potter. So seeking comfort at this level, I think, allows us to be real. It's not about escaping from reality or avoidance of reality, but more about embracing it in the present moment. And speaking of embracing, I nearly forgot to mention my sheep.
Somebody did suggest that we scrap the service and just pass the sheep.
Because trust me, this is comfort indeed. A sheep brought me this friend at a low time in my life and suggested that a daily hug wouldn't go amiss. And I do recommend such a thing to you. A few quick conversations with people created this list of things that comfort people. And I wonder if any of these help to comfort you. On your hymn sheet today, the green one, there's space to jot down your own sources of comfort and cheer. So people mentioned listening to music or singing. Appreciating the natural world and getting outside, breathing fresh air in a garden. Holding someone's hand for a while or asking for a hug. Stroking the cat, someone said. Cooking something really tasty. Talking to a good friend. Watching a favourite film again and again. Curling up with a good book to read by the fire. So let's talk with each other over a cup of tea after the service and find out what else comforts us and brings us cheer in life. Colette Lefier writes that the more we cultivate comfort in our own lives, the more readily and freely we can bring these gifts to others. And I would add to that, that the more we accept our need for comfort in life, the more we can reach out to seek it in healthy ways, knowing that we are all, after all, in this mysterious thing called life together. So may that be a source of comfort and cheer to us all, however bad the weather is. Amen. Reinhold Niebuhr writes that nothing worth doing is completed in our lifetime. Therefore, we are saved by hope. Nothing true or beautiful or good makes complete sense in any immediate context of history. Therefore, we are saved by faith. Nothing we do, however virtuous, can be accomplished alone. Therefore, we are saved by love. And so, may we, comforted by our time together, step out into the world, ready to save others through our hope, through our faith, and through our love. Amen. Go well and blessed be.